Well, good morning, Lighthouse. It's great to be here with you this morning. And the theme for this morning's service, as you've heard, is the light of the gospel. And each October, Lighthouse uses this month to exhort and remind each other of our calling to be evangelists, to be heralds, and to be proclaimers of Jesus Christ's gospel message. And so we're using this first Sunday to kick off Outreach Month, and as we do that, we'll be spotlighting different ways that the gospel is bringing light into dark places. Now, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, then one of your purposes in this life is to share and to declare, to announce and to preach the good news with others who God places into your life. And we are to use our words to clearly explain the gospel, because the gospel is indeed the heart of Christianity. And so you may ask, what is the gospel? It's the message that all humans were created to be in a restored relationship with God. Now, this relationship needs restoration because every person sins, meaning that our actions and our attitudes violate God's holy and perfect standard. In God's justice, he needs to settle every single sin that a person commits. And this payment will either be made by the person ourselves in eternal punishment or by God's Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now you may recognize the cross, that it's associated with Christianity because Jesus Christ physically died on the cross. But what is not seen by the physical eye is that God the Father poured out his wrath on his one and only Son. Because Jesus was taking all of the sins of those who would ever believe in him, he was making that payment on the cross. Now, the physical torture that Jesus, the sinless Son of God, endured was only a fraction of the torture that he bore as he took all of our sins and bore our eternal punishment. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this about Jesus: "For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Now, God's Son died, but 3 days later, Jesus Christ rose from the dead to proclaim that death has no power over him. He is a living God who rules and reigns yesterday and today and forevermore. And we too will also live for all eternity after we pass from this earth. But the question is, where? Either in the new heaven and the new earth with Christ, or in eternal punishment. And what determines where you will spend that eternity is whether or not you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone. Now, this means that you've renounced your life of sin and you've asked to be forgiven of your sins because of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. And you willingly submitted your life desiring to follow Jesus Christ and all his ways. Now, you can never earn your way into heaven by your own works, but you must trust in Jesus Christ alone. Now, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now, this leads us back to having that restored relationship with God. And when we are in that right relationship with him again, we know that our sins are forgiven and that we have been washed clean. We have peace knowing where we will go after we die. We know our true identity. We know what true love is. We know what is right and wrong, and we know how to live our lives as God has intended. And we could go on and on and on. But only when we are in a restored relationship with God will we truly find satisfaction and joy for our souls, because we were made to worship this one true and living God. And Revelation 22:3 provides a glimpse for us of that future day when we will be in Jesus' presence. It says there, that no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. Now, this is the message that we as Christians have committed our lives to. This is the good news that has saved us from our sins. And this is the gospel that directs and shapes our everyday lives. And this is the message that we are called to share with others. But unfortunately, though, sharing the gospel can be a challenge. And for some of us, we've proclaimed, but it's actually led to a broken relationship. And for others, we've shared, and the message landed with confusion and difficult questions that were coming our way. And afterwards, we might say, I should have said this, or I should have said that. And for others, we've wanted to share with someone we love so deeply, but we fear, and our mouths were kept closed. Now, I can say this, if you have tried to be a gospel sharer, then you and I both probably have a story to try and rationalize why it may be better to let others be the evangelists and not ourselves. So the purpose of this devotional, and really this whole month, is to encourage us, Lighthouse, to be a people who don't lose heart in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul was called by God to be an evangelist, and there were times when he could have been discouraged by the lack of response to the gospel. But Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, makes a bold statement. He says that we do not lose heart. Now, losing heart means being a coward or cowering in fear or losing courage. But Paul is declaring that we are not cowards, that we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ steadfastly and courageously, regardless of the outcome. Now, what is it that motivates Paul? Now, in this devotional, we'll briefly list two reasons why Paul doesn't lose heart. So I'll ask you to turn to your Bibles into 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 1 through 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. We'll begin first by looking at verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians 4 reads, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful and underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God." Now, the first reason that the Apostle Paul did not lose heart is that he remembered that God is merciful. God is merciful. Now, Paul often remembered that he himself was a recipient of the life-giving gospel and that he had received the mercy from God in the forgiveness of his sins. And that kept him from losing heart in proclaiming Christ and living out the gospel. I remember that before Paul embraced the gospel and that he became a great evangelist, he himself was the terrorizer of the Christian faith. But he personally experienced the life-giving gospel. And that's why he says in verse 1 that it's by the mercy of God. So then, after that, he was entrusted with the ministry of the gospel, just like you and I have, by the mercy of God. And Paul sees his salvation and his ministry as pure mercy and pure grace. Each day is mercy. Each day is grace. Each encounter to share the gospel is a mercy from God. Every beating and rejection that he received in sharing the gospel was still mercy and grace. Now, that helped Paul to not lose heart in preaching and living out the gospel. And in facing all of those hardships and those rejections in the gospel ministry, Paul, he could have been tempted to tamper with the gospel or to change the message in some way that would have served for his own personal gain. And that appears to be what some of the Corinthians had accused him of in this passage. But Paul remains faithful to God. He preaches the truth unchanged and openly in the public. And Paul remembers God's mercy. And as we dwell and reflect on God's grace and mercy given to us, this should cause us to not lose heart in sharing the gospel with others. We need to dwell deeply on our merciful God and remind ourselves often that we are saved by the mercy of God. And now the second reason that the Apostle Paul did not lose heart is that he knew that God is the life giver. Now let's look at verses 3 through 6. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. And in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So God is the life giver. That is what kept Paul from not losing heart. But Scripture makes it clear that the devil has set up worldly systems and that thinking to feed into people's sinful and carnal desires, keeping them in their spiritual bondage. But we must understand that these verses are not saying that God and the devil are equal. The Bible makes clear that only by God's sovereign decree does he allow the devil to be the prince of this world. So in no way does the devil have power and authority over God. So what that means for Paul and us is that we don't lose heart, even when it looks like we're facing the impossible, even when we have a parent or a friend or a roommate whose heart is quite hard. Yes, they may be blinded now, but God can remove that veil and open their eyes to see the beauty and the clarity of Christ in his gospel message. Now, as you and I proclaim the gospel and that Jesus Christ is Lord, God will use that to shine his light into the darkness of the hearts of those who are blinded to him. The very God who created all things and said, "Let there be light," and there was. This very same God who caused the physical light to overcome the physical darkness can cause his spiritual light to overcome the spiritual darkness in one's heart. So we serve the life-giving and merciful God who has called us out of our own darkness and into his marvelous light. So, Lighthouse, do not lose heart. Remain steadfast in Christ and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now we'd like to spotlight how this gospel is bringing light into this world. So we'll hear from a few folks, including our very own Erin Kawai Vang, and she serves with OMF International. And then we'll go ahead and watch a video from Lagos Community Church, which is our church plant in Nagoya, Japan. So let's go ahead and welcome Erin.
Good morning, Lighthouse. It's good to be home. I said that in first service. I'll say it in third, but it's so good to be home. The pandemic was unreal, and you have no idea how many times I was like, if I could just be home at Lighthouse, but thank the Lord for YouTube, huh? Alessandra is the first person to get to introduce me to church as a married woman. So you heard the new name, which means, yes, there's a husband to go with that. And so fortunately, he's here. So this is Nang, everyone. Stand up. I'm like, so you can pray for that poor man as he gets drug around the world. We leave literally like 12 hours from now. We will be sitting on a plane and headed to Thailand for 2 weeks of ministry there with OMF. He's not serving full-time with OMF, but praise the Lord, he was able to secure a job where he can work remotely, and so he will be working remotely. Well, he's not working remotely in Thailand, but he gets to work remotely, and praise the Lord, his job let him off for these 2 weeks, so we're thankful for that. But as Gavin and I were talking about this service and leading up to it, usually when I come and share, it's like a ministry update. But in light of what's been happening, I wanted to, instead of give a ministry update, it's a ministry update slash vision cast for you all a little bit today. And I want to introduce to you an initiative in OMF that's not new by any stretch of the imagination, but it now has two parts to it that are very, very focused when it comes to reaching the diaspora. And for those of us, most of us in this room, we are considered the diaspora. Most of us, a lot of us are second, third, fourth, fifth generation from Asia. And maybe our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents aren't from here, but we came from another place. And God has uniquely given us a gift to strategically reach people who are from places where the gospel has yet to reach. And so, but this movement of people really is God's idea. If we look in Acts chapter 17, it says this: from one man, he, God, made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. But God did that, the movement of people because of war and other things. That's God's idea. And we see today 281 million migrants on the move globally. 38 million of those 281 are from East Asia. But that doesn't count us. The second, third, fourth, fifth generation, that doesn't count us, but we're in that. And we're part of the strategic nature of reaching the nations with the gospel. And so I want to show you a picture of what this could look like. And I want to put up a graphic really quick. Sorry, I should show you. Out of those international migrants, 11% of those are refugees and asylum seekers. Okay? And so again, you see the diaspora image there. But I want to show you a picture of what it might look like when ministries like Spectrum are happening at Lighthouse. We're reaching Japan with our church plant. But in LA, no, it's not no surprise to any of us that there are 68,000, almost 70,000 estimated Japanese residents living in LA, just the city. Not LA County, I found out. I thought it was LA County. It's LA, the city. Nearly 70,000. So just expand that out, right? So what happens when we reach the diaspora by loving, evangelizing, and discipling? That's mission to the diaspora. But then when they become believers, then they, just like us, receive that call to then go to the nations, whether it's going to other peoples or whether it's going back home to where they came from, to wherever they're from, mission through them. But then going beyond that and then it restarting all over again. And so in OMF, these two initiatives, very quickly, very focused. And this is why I wanted to share this, because when you think about Spectrum and reaching Japan, those two things go hand in hand a lot of times. But in diaspora, returnee ministry, meaning ministering to those who are returning to Japan, to India, to Indonesia, to Malaysia, to wherever they've come from, we have to think about preparing them to return, because when they return, they don't go to a church that's full of people in a sanctuary. They go maybe to somebody's home, and it's much smaller. So we have to train them with the idea of how do they become a believer now in a very small context, in a place where the people around them don't believe the things that they do or know the gospel. But then there's also loving East Asia's people. So we can go two slides forward, actually. And there's overlap between international students, migrant workers, and business and professionals, because some of them come and they immigrate, like many of our families have, and some of them will return. But either way, we still have, there's still ability for reach to the country of origin, to their passport country, or to another place. And so Lighthouse, really the call for us today as a church is, what is our strategic role? Because again, for many of us, we come from places and we have family members. So are we reaching them, but are we also thinking about the context with which our students come from? And so again, as you think about Spectrum, as you think about what we're doing in Japan, Lighthouse, pray. But we are strategically gifted by God and moved by him to a place like Southern California so that we would know him and make him known. Thanks.
Good morning, church family. It's so good to see the Saitos and the Kauai families. I really miss them. But my name is Euphemio. I help oversee our local outreach ministry here at Lighthouse. Our local outreach is our outreach to our community, our neighbors here in the South Bay. As you've heard, our heart at Lighthouse is to share the hope that we have in Christ with the nations. And we have missionaries, we have partners abroad in Japan and in Mexico. But for us here in the South Bay, do we also see the great need around us? How are we being a light to those who are here in our community, in our backyard? And what can we do to serve and love our neighbors? So there are different ways that we do that here at Lighthouse, but today I'd like to highlight our ministry called Spectrum. Spectrum is our way of serving and reaching out to international students in our area. So for just a minute, I'd like to for us to imagine what it's like being an international student. Okay, if you're here and you are an international student, or maybe you've experienced being one when you studied abroad, you already know what it's like, right? Imagine you've come all the way from your country to study and further your education. It's an exciting time for you, but also really scary. You've heard stories about the U.S. and the people here. You've read or watched the news on TV. You've seen movies and shows, but when you get here, it's still a culture shock. You have to adjust to a new school system and a different way of living. But I think the hardest thing for most of our students is being away from home. I remember asking one of our students what was the most difficult thing for her when she got to the U.S., and she said that it was not having her friends and family around and just being not having her community around. Many of our students, when they get here, really don't have anyone to turn to, and it can be a confusing and lonely time for them. So a big part of our ministry is just reaching out to students and meeting their needs, helping them to navigate and do the basic things here. And this is where our ministry begins. And in our love for international students and genuinely wanting to be their friends and helping them to adjust to life in America. So to sum up Spectrum, it's a relational ministry that seeks to build genuine friendships with international students so that we can invite them into our lives and share the great hope that we have in Christ. So, you know, in our area alone, you know, there are over 1,000 international students. And in the greater LA area, there are more than 65,000. So the nations are here in our backyard. And do we see the need and this opportunity to reach out to them? And many of them are from unreached people groups, right? So we want to share the very best with them, and that's Christ. And remember, you know, Aaron was talking about just how strategic it is. Our students are some of the brightest students, and they have the potential to go home. And they are the best people to go back home and share the faith, right? As future leaders in their countries, many. Yeah, so imagine the impact that that can make. Impact when they become believers. And, you know, for many of them, we're their first contact with real believers. And if they remember our love for them and they come to faith, that will change their whole perspective on the faith. And that can open the doors for the gospel in their country. So this is our vision. We want to help change the world through Christ. So some of our photos are up there. I just thought we'd have some visual, and that wasn't when I had a lot fewer gray hair, but I promise it's not from Spectrum. It's a great blessing to serve in that ministry. Just to give you a sum it up, we meet with students here at Lighthouse most Friday evenings from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. It's just a chance for students to come to a place where they can meet other international students. They can meet Americans, they can meet the leaders and practice their English. We do a variety of things from English discussion, which we call talk time. We have game nights, cultural events, show and tells. And in the past, we've had backyard hangouts and Friday night dinners. So Friday meetings it's just an entry point, right? It doesn't have to, we won't have any overt Christian content, but it's just a first step to bringing students into our community as followers of Christ. So we have an opportunity to just share our viewpoint with them. And the hope is that it's not limited to Fridays, but throughout the week, we get to be part of their lives. We get to invite them into our community. Aside from our Friday night meetings, every month we also try to plan an outing with the students, usually on the first Saturday of the month. This can range from taking them to the farmer's market, we go hiking and PV, we play broomball and bowling, we've had badminton tournaments and beach bonfires. Our monthly events just give us more opportunities to hang out with them, build relationship with them. And I think some people might, maybe some of you, might look at our ministry, you know, you see, oh, that's a karaoke night. And ask, why are they hanging out with students so much? Why are they spending so much time with them and building friendships instead of simply preaching to them? But we have to think about how Christ himself reached out to the lost. When we read through the Gospels, we see that Christ had a relationship and concern for those who did not know God. He was constantly in their company. Luke 5:29 says that he reclines and he eats with them, meaning that he personally accepted and welcomed them as his friends. Instead of despising them, he shares his life with them. And as a result, their lives were changed. They saw the difference and found the way. So Jesus had a passion for the lost. And the question again is, do we have that same passion? And for our spectrum, that's our goal, you know? And another way to serve our students is through our Friendship Partner Program. So this is where we pair up students with families or individuals who are members here at Lighthouse. And as I mentioned, most of our students are here without their families and friends. So, you know, they have no one to help them and figure things out. So this is a chance for our church family to get involved in the lives of these students in a simple way. We get to befriend them and show them what Christian families and individuals are like. As a friendship partner, you can be creative in how you show care. You can send them care packages. You can become a language partner and help them with their English. You can help give them rides. A while back, I remember just spending an afternoon with a student in the DMV, and you know how that can be. But even simple things like that, that can give us opportunities to share our faith, right? I find that when we help meet students' needs and become their friends, we get to share our heart with them and our faith. And then as our relationships with them grow, we get to have Bible studies with them. And we're so thankful that this past summer we were able to have three different groups for seven of our students. And our goal is not just for them to hear the gospel, but for them to be able to study the scripture on their own and hopefully share about Christ in their community. They're the best people to go to their community, right? So that's our ministry in a nutshell. I just hope that gives you a clearer picture of what we do in Spectrum. And yeah, I think International Student Ministry is one of those ministries that not a lot of people really get. It's not found in a lot of churches, but the need is there. And I'm so grateful that we get to have this opportunity to meet young men and women from all over the world. So I just want to encourage you guys to consider serving with us. I just want to share, lastly, a few simple ways that you can get involved. So aside from being part of our staff, if you can please just keep us in prayer, would you commit to make a daily reminder for yourself to pray for us and for the hearts of our students? Another way is to serve is to serve as a friendship partner and invite students into your life. And I wish I had more time to share stories about our friendship partners here at Lighthouse, but if you're interested, please contact Puyi Cam, and we'll also share more info through our Lighthouse Weekly. And thirdly, would you open your home to students during holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas? You can host one of our events at your home or bring dinner for our ministry one Friday just this year. You know, maybe if there's a Friday that you can just save the date and like bring a dinner. You know, simple things like that can make an impact to be a support for our ministry. And I will say International Student Ministry can sometimes be challenging. Yes, there are a lot of welcomes, but there are also a lot of goodbyes and tears. A lot of brokenness that we get to see. There's definitely a cost to serving, but it's also a great blessing. We get to be part of people's lives and share our love and our great hope with them. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me after service. With that, let me close us in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunities you give us, Lord, to share our faith, to share this great hope that we have to be a light to our community. And I just pray, Lord, for our church family that you would instill that heart in us to have a heart that breaks for people, that we would see, truly see the need around us, not just with the things that we shared today with Spectrum and, with our partnerships, God, but even in our workplaces, in our families, help us to have those eyes to see and boldness to go and love in a way that is sacrificial and following the example of Christ. So, Father, thank you just for the way you've blessed us. May you help us, Lord, to bless others in return through our faith, through the gospel. We love you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.